Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gill, you guys with us. 215-592-9490. If we're going back to all your phone calls on Joel Embiid and the Sixers' decision to sit him out for the first few games, and then I guess we reevaluate this thing next week. Your take on that. We'll get to some Eagles stuff right now. Kyle, with our next guest, Seth Joyner.
Yeah, and Seth, sponsored by Bet Parks Online Casino and Sportsbook, pre- and post-game with Seth Joyner at Parks Casino for every Birds game all season. Must be 21 in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, or Michigan. Gambling problem, 1-800-GAMBLER.
Seth, how you doing today?
Seth.
What's up, fellas?
How you doing, man?
Well, Seth, before we get to some Eagles stuff, because it was a good win for them, and we'll look forward to this game Sunday against Cincinnati, well, what's your thought process on the Sixers and Joel Embiid? It's been a long saga, and now we start this season, Seth, with them not really telling us why, but he's just not playing to start the year.
Let me ask you guys a question. Didn't the Sixers just extend him again this
just
summer?
Got paid,
yeah,
Seth.
3 years, $190 okay, million.
Just got paid.
Okay, so somebody please tell me, if you're going to extend this guy, and these conversations were going on for a while, why did the Sixers allow him to go and play in the Olympics? They should have made him skip the Olympics and made sure that he was fit and ready to go for this season. I just don't understand the mentality of how these organizations operate. You know, you're going to give this guy the bag, and then going into the season, he's already talking about, I can't play back-to-backs, and you know, they're not going to play him the first couple of games of the season. This is just absurdity, man.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. It's definitely a different than the football mentality that you have. And to me, Seth, it feels like this is something that he wanted to do, and the organization really, they couldn't do anything about it. They were hamstrung when it came to trying to make this decision.
Well, listen, if you're writing the checks, you absolutely got a say in it.
That's you know, what I, yeah, I, but I, obviously I, they don't. They, I don't get that. That's the part that I can't wrap my mind around. I don't understand that part.
Because we've moved from, you know, there was a time, Hugh, even before you got in the league, there was no free agency. The teams that owned your rights, they owned your rights. You couldn't go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
If a team said, we're going to pay you 250 G's for the year, and you didn't want to take it, they told you to sit home till you was ready to come in and pay for it because you couldn't move. You couldn't go anywhere.
Mm.
You know, as free agency has come along, and I think – I'm not saying that it's not a good thing. I think it is a great thing because salaries and everything else has gotten better over the years. But the issue now is we've, like, moved into this area where these athletes are making so much money, they have more power in the organization than anybody in the organization with the exception of the owner. You can always get another coach. You can always get a new staff. But the one thing you can't do, you know, we believe, is, you know, that Joel Embiid is irreplaceable. You know, at some point in time, you're going to have to replace the guy because he's proven beyond a shadow of a doubt he won't get in shape. He won't do the things that's necessary for him to be able to play 82 games. So you're going to roll him back to about 50, 55 games in the season is what you're telling me so that he's healthy when he gets to the playoffs. But what the hell happens, you know, when something else breaks on him, you know, in the first round of the playoffs and they get bounced again? This just makes no sense to me whatsoever. Make him get his ass in shape, make him lose 20 freaking pounds, and make him get his ass down on the damn block sometimes. Get in shape so you can run the full 54 and you don't have to hide him up at the top of the key so he ain't running back the other way by the time the team is in transition the other way. That's really what the problem is. That's why they're playing him at the top of the key, because if they get a offensive rebound, guys, and go the other way, by the time he get back down the damn, by the time he start lumbering back down the court the other way, they already in transition back down to the other end of the floor. Make him get his fat ass in shape, man.
Seth, love the passion there on this. I think a lot of people feel very similar to you. Seth, all right, let's talk about the Eagles coming off back-to-back wins. And the defense, Seth, which really struggled to start this season, has turned a corner, it feels like. Back-to-back games, no touchdowns allowed. Seth, first time we've seen that here since 2017. What's the biggest difference? What are you noticing? And how much is they've really turned a corner compared to, all right, they played Deshaun Watson and Daniel Jones?
I think that, you know, again, I'm going to put to bed this conversation. The 696 players in the National Football League. There's only bad run organizations. There's only bad coached organizations. There are no bad teams in the National Football League. Let me just start there. Now, Vic Fangio, since the insertion of Cooper DeJean, has played a very, very aggressive style of defense. Week one, they were aggressive. Week two, they were passive. Week three, they were aggressive. Week four, they were passive. They come out of the bye in the last 2 weeks, they've been very, very aggressive. You know, they blitz more. They run more pressures. That's evident by when you see N'Kobe Dean rack up, you know, two sacks in a game. You're looking at the cornerbacks. They're up challenging wide receivers at the line of scrimmage. They're playing just a more aggressive brand. And I think that what you're also going to see is you're going to begin to see over time, if they continue to play like this, you're going to start to see the turnovers start to come. The only turnovers, the Eagles got two interceptions by Reed Blankenship through six games. That's the only turnovers that they have. They got to be one of the worst teams in the National Football League in forcing turnovers. You only force turnovers when you get up and you force the action with aggression.
Seth Joyner joining us here, talking Eagles as we get set for a game against Cincinnati. All right, Seth, the other side of the football, they ran the ball a lot on Sunday. It was very effective. Saquon was just incredible, as he's been for a lot of his time with the Eagles. And yesterday on the air, Nick Sirianni was asked by John Ritchie if they're a running team, and he said they are. Seth, do you think we've seen a shift here? Should we continue to see them more as a running team than a throwing team?
Two things. I've been saying this for weeks. The way you're going to get Jalen – where you're going to get Jalen fixed is you pretty much got to make him a game manager. Nobody wants to hear that, you know, for a $51 million franchise quarterback, but he's off right now. The way you fix him is you make him a game manager. You run the football, use your big offensive line, and play action off of it. And eventually, by the time we get to, you know, week 10, the Dallas week, now hopefully Jalen is back where he needs to be passing the ball. And now you can vary your game plan wherever you need to either be run or pass in certain situations. The reason I laugh, because I saw that quote this morning on Twitter, and I went back and I looked at week two and week three of last year. The offense was struggling last year. We roll into Minnesota, and I believe we ran for 259 yards versus the Minnesota Vikings and won that game. And then we went down to Tampa Bay, and I believe we ran for 201 yards the next week. And then after back-to-back 300-yard games following in weeks four and weeks five, they lost their damn mind, started throwing the ball all over the place. So I'm going to be watching, eyes wide open, to see how this quote lives. Oh, yes, we are a running football team. Because you know damn well that Jeffrey and Howie don't want to be.
They want to throw the ball.
Listen, you got a $51 million quarterback. You got a $30 million wide receiver and a $20-plus million wide receiver. You going to tell me that they're going to be okay with handing the ball off to your $13 million running back on a consistent basis for the rest of the year? Man, please.
Nah, I don't think that's going to be the case. But Seth, the way this team is presently constructed, can you see them ultimately getting to where they want to be? Can you see this team being a playoff contender and ultimately a Super Bowl contender by running the ball if they stay that route?
You know what, man? I would venture to say if you went and you looked at statistically just through the first six games of the season, that more teams are trending back towards running the football than in the last 10 years. I've said forever, you have to run the football in order to survive. There's only a handful of quarterbacks in the National Football League that you can roll them out there every week and they throw it 40 to 50 times and you have success.
Mm.
It just doesn't work. A quarterback's best friend, first of all, is an offensive line and a dominant run game. You think Lamar Jackson ain't grinning from cheek to cheek, you know, now that he's got Derrick Henry down there running roughshod through everybody yeah. that they play?
Yeah.
It makes the quarterback's job so much easier when you have a running game, because you can go play action pass, which makes the defense slow down, which minimizes the pressure. Now, the way that they're constructed, you know, listen, they're going to have some games where Jalen's just going to have to put the ball in the air, plain and simple. You know, teams, I was thinking about it, you know, after I watched the Ravens game again this week, and I'm watching, you know, Derrick Henry run all over the place. You know, we used to have a couple of defenses, Hugh. We had an overslide extra backer and an over extra backer, which meant we took a DB out of the game and we put an extra linebacker in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And we went overslide where we would kick the strong side in outside of the double wing or outside of the tight end and walk the linebacker down, the extra backer down on that extra tight end.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a way of ensuring that, you know, we could force a team out of that look because we had full gaps across the board. I don't care what kind of blocking scheme you brought. We could shut down any running game anytime, anywhere. And I started playing with it. I was drawing it up last night. I'm like, man, if somebody used this, boy, they shut all the running down in the National Football League. But teams don't use that anymore. I mean, I still remember that defense. But if teams going to keep playing the way that they're playing, you know, I think it's sustainable. But at some point in time, the reason why the Eagles need to be a run-first team right now is because Jalen in the passing game ain't right.
Mm.
I don't know whether it's just him. I don't know whether it's the combination of him trying to get on the same page with Kellen Moore's offense or, you know, Nick kind of sticking his hand in the soup every once in a while. I don't know what it is. But something's off, and until they can get him right, they need to be a run-first team and go play action off of it. And if they can do that, by the time they get to the end of the year, the defense will have grown. Hopefully, you know, he gets back right, and the power of the running game in the playoffs, which allows you to control tempo, control time of possession, control the line of scrimmage, man, you darn right, it hunts in the playoffs.
Seth, great stuff. Appreciate your time as always. Enjoy the rest of your week, and we'll talk next week after the Cincinnati game. Thank you, Seth.
You got it, boss.
Have a good one.
There you go. Seth Joyner there with a Seth brought it on Joel Embiid. I had a feeling when I asked him,
yeah,
not the big guy, going to be the biggest
fan. Man.
Yeah, of course.
Seth old school. I mean, we are to a certain extent. This is a new era. I think when you listen to that Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett talk, somebody said, you got to stop comparing eras. Because it's different. The mentality from the older era was different because a lot that factored into that was the fact that there was somebody waiting in the wings to take your job. And a lot of times we did a lot of stuff because we knew that to be true. In the NBA, the players have all the power. And that's just the fact. The fact is that when they decided to sign Joel Embiid and give him that extension, they gave him, in essence, power. And now he can call the shots and do whatever he wants to do. I'm not saying it like it's a bad thing. It's a double-edged sword, though. And it feels to me like, to be honest, he doesn't care about the feedback that he gets. That's the one thing I think that drove us back in the day when we played. The desire to be crowd pleasers and to go out and perform for the fans, if you will, for lack of a better way of saying it. To go out there and not give up on your teammates or show up for your teammates, I should say. I don't feel like Joel Embiid feels the same way.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like that.
I think you're probably right on that. And you're right, Seth's right. It is a different era. KG's right, right? We can't compare the eras. But you know what? In this era, the guys that play win. Last year, Jason Tatum played 74 games. Jaylen Brown played 70 games. The year before, Nikola Jokic played about 70 games. His average 74 games. So yeah, there's a lot of players who don't play a lot of games. The champions play. Like, the Sixers, there's this weird trust. Like, Daryl Morey knows what he's doing. Really? Are you sure about that? Or why should I trust Daryl Morey to have a team win a championship? He's never done it. He catered to James Harden as he got his own plane and his own travel schedule and went to strip clubs in Vegas whenever he wanted. Now he's catering to Joel Embiid. Why should I trust Daryl Morey? Why should I trust the Sixers? What have they ever shown me to trust them? You know, the Eagles have ups and downs, but the Eagles, I kind of know what I'm getting. They're usually going to be a pretty good team, usually a contender. Every maybe 7-8 years, they pop as a better than that kind of team, a Super Bowl team. I get it. I get the flow of the Eagles. Why should I trust the Sixers and Joel Embiid? No way. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard. All right, your reaction to the Embiid situation. Are you on board with him sitting him early in the season? None of us are here. I think very few are because it doesn't add up. And then, of course, we have Hughes Clues for a chance to win a $50 gift card to Klondike Kate's Restaurant and Saloon in Newark, Delaware. We're there tomorrow for our show from 10 to 2. First clue was a TV character I dressed up as for a costume contest back in the day.
All right, we're looking for the show of the character you dressed up as.
That's right. Well, I was a character from the show. What is the show? Good call. All right, James in Bethlehem. What's up, James?
Hey,
James?
How's it going, Joe? How's it going, you?
Hey, James.
What's going on, man?
What's up?
Hey, man. Just, wanted to bring up Embiid. I think the conversation around this man is so polarizing. And I just want to put it in perspective a bit. We've had multiple times in the past where, you know, he does power through injuries. And people have labeled that selfish. And he's going for the MVP and he wants his accolades. Now it seems like Nurse and the team, obviously they didn't roll it out in the right way. But I think they have a plan. I think they realize that the regular season is not that important completely. I understand continuity is. But when does Embiid play his best basketball every year?
January. December, January.
So what if they have a plan to make that January turn into the playoffs? And I think that's what they're trying to do. And I would love as a fan base to try to just get behind them. You know, I'm not saying this could be a Trey Turner moment because that's crazy. But, like, you know, what if this is a year where they have a plan and they're not going to push him through injuries? I don't think that means he's lazy. He did lose a lot of weight if you saw pictures of him.
Mm-hmm.
I just think he's ready for the moment. He's not engaging with fans. You know, he's grown up a lot. And I still think, you know, it's unfortunate that he's huge and he's talented and his knees give out. But I do think he's trying his best. And I think as a fan base, and in the market, we should get behind him, you know?
So a couple thoughts I have off what you said.
I hear a standing ovation.
Yeah, we're not doing that.
Why not?
Excuse me?
We did it for Trey Turner?
Yeah.
Oh.
All right, hold on. So a couple things stand out, James. And I understand your thought. But one, and you mentioned this, the messaging needs to be better then. I actually could accept this if they told us rather than string people along. Like, because I don't believe they didn't come up with the plan until yesterday, right? They've mapped this out. They probably have an idea, you're probably right, of, I don't know, 40 games, 50 games, and it doesn't start tonight. And that's, in theory, that's okay, but they didn't tell us till yesterday. So that's one. And James, the other thing I thought about as you said that is, okay, but isn't playing in the Olympics incongruent with that? It doesn't add up. It doesn't, like, if they know and he knows he's got 75 games in his body, including the playoffs for a whole year, then why are we wasting games and minutes in the Olympics?
Sure. I think that's a completely fair point. And on that point, you know, that can be discussed. I'm not going to waste my time on it right now, but I do think there's a plan. The whole plan here, you know, the regular season, let's just say the most important thing is seeding and continuity.
Yes, yes,
but
I agree.
What really matters here is the playoffs. So if we have a plan, at the end of the day, tonight won't matter at all in a few months if he's healthy for the playoffs. I understand right now it's, you know, we're all talking about it and we're, you know, we're disappointed, but it really is just a small grain of sand in a larger picture here.
You heard.
So it feels like that, but sometimes the straw breaks the camel's back. And James, we appreciate it. I feel like a lot of people are at that point. So what do we got? What do we think about the comparison to the Trey Turner thing? You think we should do that?
Yeah, but how will we do it? Is he going to be on the bench tonight?
I have no idea. I guess.
Is he going to show up? Or is this one of those ones where he's not going to come to work at all?
It's one of those. I'd say once a week we have a take on the show, whether it's ours or a caller's, that I see Kyle in there and a part of him dies inside.
This is a joke, quite frankly.
I saw it when the guy got on the phone and started talking. Kyle, he was thoroughly irritated and he didn't say anything.
I don't think James is crazy. It's just like, how am I supposed to wrap my arms around this?
I always like to compare sports because for whatever reason, people don't see them the same way. I tend to, especially when you talk about, you know, like a guy that's supposed to be at work on the day that he's supposed to be at work, and he decided, oh, I'm not coming. And now we think that because he's not going to be in number one and two game, which you're trying to get continuity, and, you know, you're playing the Milwaukee Bucks, like you might have to see him in the playoffs, that doesn't matter. Because we're just going to magically wave a wand. And you gave a stat where you were talking about when Boston had a team, they played together 70 games.
Yep. Well, they all played. I don't know how many they all were, but they all played at least 70.
At least 70 games.
Yeah, so they had to be together.
So there had to be some overlap in some of those games. Had to be. But we're talking about playoffs, and Joel Embiid potentially is going to play 50 games this season. And ain't no telling how many games Paul George is going to play. So I don't understand that. I don't understand how people think everything is going to be okay. When you have all that, you got to work on spacing on the floor and all this other stuff. But we're not worried about any of that because Joel Embiid is just going to walk out there on the court in January and everything's going to be okay.
The ironic part about this is Paul George's time with the Clippers was the same thing. He was always hurt. Kawhi was always hurt. Every year, you could point at, I think you pick out one moment every year where people are like, well, maybe, you know, maybe the Clippers are going to make the finals. Clippers look really good when they're actually on the court together. But they got to the playoffs, and it never really worked. I mean, it never did. Like, we're the new Clippers now. Great. We are the new Clippers. That sounds awesome as we enter a season. Let's go to Eric in Fox Chase. Hey, Eric.
What's up, fellas?
What's up, Eric?
I couldn't disagree with the last caller more.
Tell us why.
Since the day we drafted this guy, we knew this was a possibility eventually. He was never going to be a healthy player. He was injured when we drafted him. We knew going into his late 20s, early 30s, that this was a distinct possibility that he might not even play past 30. We're playing on borrowed time a little bit here. I just truly believe that he probably, his knees are shot. It happens. You know, a guy that big and that, you know, that tall. And I just can't believe they gave him more money. Like, I thought that they, you know, this thing they're trying with Paul George, and I'm sorry, it's just not going to work. We're not as good as Boston. We're just not. And, you know, these Joel Embiid has a two-year window where we even have an inkling of a chance. I mean, I just don't see it.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't think most of us do. We keep holding out hope, and every time we hold out hope, they just slam us in the head with reality here. Eric, give us a guess for Hughes Clues. What did I dress up as?
I'm going to go Screech from Saved by the Bell.
It's a good guess, Eric. That would kind of fit the timeline. I watched that show a lot when I was young. That's not it. Not it. But I think people are at least in the right realm of era.
What was it? Kelly Kapowski? Was it Kapowski?
Kelly Kapowski, yeah.
And the other?
Lisa people? Turtle.
Yeah, Lisa. Yeah.
Great show.
It was all right.
Well,
and who is the Slater?
AC Slater. Who's what's his name? He's on. He does talk show or something. What's his name? Mario something Lopez. I think that's his name.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right.
We're in entirely different generations when it comes to TV.
Besides some of the more recent ones.
Yeah, like the transgenerational ones, like Seinfeld.
Well, yeah, those span a lot of generations. 215-592-9494. All right, your phone calls on Embiid on the other side. Plus, a second Hughes Clue for the Klondike Kate's gift card. Plus, we want to play something for you. Audio from Mark Sanchez about Jalen Hurts and how he thinks the Eagles should be running their offense. This was really interesting. Remember, Sanchez did the game on Sunday, did those pre-production meetings with the Eagles coaching staff. You're going to want to hear this. That's coming up next. Your phone calls as well. Midday show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Hey, Philly, I want to remind you that it's time to speak up. Election Day is November 5th, and we want every block and every voice to be heard, from Poplar to Mayfair, from Cobbs Creek to Parkwood. It's election time, and we want you to be heard. Visit vote.philly.gov/vote-by-mail and request your mail ballot before October 29th. That's vote.philly.gov/vote-by-mail. Come on, Philly. We want every block and every voice to be heard.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. for millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Friday. I have a feeling he's going to be asked about what he said yesterday in the morning show about being a running team. We'll let you hear what a former NFL quarterback said about that coming up in a little bit. Your calls on Joel Embiid. I'm checking in on the Twitter poll today. A little bit surprising. Our Twitter poll question here today, which is brought to you by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation, PIDentalCenter.com. Do you agree with the Sixers' decision to hold Joel Embiid out to start the season? So I would say so far on the phone lines, it's been 70-30. Most people are against this. You know, a couple people are trying to be more understanding towards the Sixers and Embiid. 54-46 on the Twitter poll.
So people are okay with it.
Well, almost half are.
That's interesting.
Is this the classic?
They must not be going to the game. Those are cats that didn't go to the playoff games, but they got the free tickets.
Oh, they sold the tickets to the Knicks?
Yeah, they probably was the ones that sold tickets to the Knicks.
Have we arrived at the there's different stages of Sixers grief. There's the anger, there's the,
acceptance.
Acceptance, and then there's, you know, kind of rationalize it in your head. Are people getting there as we get closer to the start of the season?
People on Twitter are also, like, chock full of copium.
That's true. Yeah, it's going to be okay.
It's about the playoffs.
Yeah, that's crazy to me that you automatically think that he's going to miss half the season and everything's just going to go swimmingly in the playoffs.
He'll be in shape.
Yeah,
he'll be great.
And continuity will be there. Spacing won't be an issue. Any of this, yeah.
So, like, my whole thing is I get the idea that that keeping him healthy as possible or whatever, just having him play as few games as possible so he can be in the best shape as possible in the postseason. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I'm just thinking of all the ways that we've seen Joel Embiid get injured, either before the playoffs or in the playoffs. It's like tweak against the Magic, or getting elbowed in the face by Siakam, or throwing a dunk off the backboard and slam it in against the Knicks.
Lands funny off a dunk.
It's like, why is he going to be better because he didn't play 40 games this season?
Yeah, there's no guarantee. I mean, and even if you kind of felt like, all right, there's less chance of injury, less games, less minutes, okay, then you got to come out and tell the fans what the plan is. Like, the idea that you're not telling people, I laugh at the idea of trust the Sixers. Excuse me? Trust the Sixers. Trust Daryl Morey. Why? I have no reason to. I don't believe them. And if they are just trying to keep him healthy, the other side of the coin is, well, you're not going to have continuity and you're not going to play enough together and your seed won't be good enough to go win. 215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phone lines here and then we'll get another clue for Hughes Clues. Mitch is up on WIP. Hey, Mitch.
It'll be cool.
I need to order one of these.
What's going on here?
Uh-oh.
Hey, Mitch.
What Mitch talking about?
I'm here. I'm just listening. First of all, I agree with Seth about the Eagles and the Hurts, but to get to the Sixers, I'm 72. I've been around. I saw Wilt many times at Convention Hall. If Embiid's hurt, he's hurt. People make it like he's faking. If you're hurt, you're hurt. It's not like he's got to walk the dog. He's playing in the NBA. You got to be healthy.
I like that analogy. Like
you don't want to be playing in a game like that if you're hurt, because you make it worse and then you really will be hurt. So if he has to miss a few games, fine. And if they sit him, okay, he's great. When he played last year, when he was healthy, he was having Wilt numbers. I just want to make one statement. I tell my kids, I have three sons. I say to them, you know, I hear you guys comparing players, the older players, and you go, oh, he just reminds me of this guy, or he's just like that, or you know who he reminds me of? You know what you never hear ever, not ever, is he reminds me of Wilt. Embiid's the only player that I've seen that he's not like Wilt. He isn't Wilt, but he's the closest thing to Wilt when he's healthy and he's on. No one's doing this stuff. The numbers he puts up are historic. So you have a guy like that. I don't care. You can't play him. He's hurt. And they have a big investment in him. And I'm amazed guys don't get hurt every day. Look how, what's his name, George got hurt the other night, doing nothing.
Yeah, hyperextended his knee. Yeah.
His knee.
Yep.
When these guys jump up and down and fall on each other's feet, I can't imagine. I can't believe they don't get hurt every game. So the fact that he plays, let him, if he only plays 50 games, let him win the 50 games he plays. And it won't matter.
Well, so, Mitch, I understand your point. And I think if the Sixers told us that we're more transparent with a plan, I think it'd be easier for people to wrap their minds around
it.
Yeah,
I think that's the part. I think that's the part that people are missing.
All right, so you're mad at the Sixers. People would seem like they're mad at Embiid. If they're mad at the Sixers,
well,
so the
it's a part. It's Embiid. It's the whole thing.
I don't agree with you that he doesn't want to play or that he wants to
okay,
not
so,
show
up. Okay, so what is it then?
I don't agree with that.
Mitch, they said he was healthy. They said, I'm going off everything that I talk about on this station is I'm going off of the information that has been given to me. And so far, Nick Nurse said in the press conference, he said he looks good in practice. He looks like he's ready to go, but now he's not ready to go. So what conclusion am I left with?
Just like what happened to George the other night. You're covering somebody in practice. You tweak it the wrong way, and uh-oh, you feel it.
Okay.
Well, say that.
Okay, if that's the case, Miss, then why couldn't he just say that?
I don't know. That's a PR thing. That's not a – this is a – I can't believe people hate on this guy either. When he plays, he's great. If he can't play – like they got a kid they called said, yeah, he was hurt when they got him and when they drafted him and he missed a year. Yeah, that's all true. But when he does play, he's an amazing player. You know? I mean, so to me, it's like let him play when he can play and hopefully they'll have him in the playoffs. And he plays like he played last year when he was on that roll when he was averaging 34 and 20, whatever he was averaging, and having more assists than he ever had in his career. I mean – you know, the guy with George, if George is healthy, yeah, they got a shot. Maxie, if Maxie's Maxie, then, yeah, I think they can win it all. But you got to baby the guy so he can play in the playoffs.
Well,
that's it,
Mitch. All right, Mitch, give us a guess for Hughes Clues. I dressed up as a character from this TV show for Halloween once.
I don't know, dude. That's so lame. I don't know. Fresh Prince. I don't know.
Well, that's a fair guess. I don't know what character I would have pulled off, Mitch. But that's a good guess. You got the error.
That's a crazy guess, though.
Well, at least it fits the era, right?
Yeah, it does.
If I had to pull off one character from Fresh Prince, now, obviously, aesthetically, I'm not going to look the part, but if I had to pull off a character, I'd want to be Uncle Phil, but I can't do that. I'm a third of Uncle Phil. Uncle Phil was the best.
I mean, you know, I like you. I couldn't imagine you dressing up as a character from Fresh Prince.
Well, I think the only one I could possibly pull off was Jeffrey, right? I mean, who else am I going to pull off?
No, I'm just thinking about some, like, this is how my mind works. There's some outfit fails around this time of the year when, you know, people start, you know, to dress
who could pull off better if I was doing a Fresh Prince Country? Jeffrey or Jazz?
I would say Jazz. I would say Jazz. If we were trying to pull off a character, I would say Jazz.
Okay.
With the clothes and the glasses and everything, yeah.
I could try that. It wouldn't work out well. All right, 215-592-9049. For this hour, sponsored by Popeyes. It's football season in Philly, so fly to Popeyes, fly and fill up on wings and seven delicious flavors from Popeyes. All right, there's actually, as our last caller said what he said, made me think one other theory here. Because, you know, he talked about PR.
Yes.
And messaging. I'm just trying, like, I've now spent 24 hours trying to understand in my head why the Sixers did what they did. Why say it yesterday? Why string people along? Why lie? We went over some theories. Has it crossed anyone's mind that if he is injured, if something new happened, it happened in the Olympics, and he and they don't want that to come out because then everyone's mad they allowed him to go to the Olympics and it makes him look bad that he chose the Olympics over getting ready for a season. I wonder if he tweaked something there. He was behind his schedule to get ready for the season because, you know, he had to come home from Europe and, you know, whatever, put his foot up for a month. And they don't want to tell us he tweaked something there.
I think a lot of it has to do with the way that we've been treated in the past. We have PTSD when it comes to this. I understand, like, if you're looking at it from a small sample size, like, hey, if he's hurt, he's hurt. But this has been lingering as far as the not being truthful when it comes to Joel Embiid. And that's why I think people are frustrated. Because last year, during his knee surgery, it was like, oh, he'll be out for a couple weeks. Turned into to a lot longer time than we were told.
Yeah.
So people are a little frustrated with that. And I think people tend to forget that. And I think it's important when you talk about the context of all of this, I think that's important, is because all of a sudden we're getting ready for the season and we don't know what's going on with Joel Embiid. Hmm. So I think context is important in this situation.
All right, Hugh, why don't you give people a second clue for Hugh's clues?
We got a second clue.
We got a $50 gift card giveaway to Klondike Kate's Restaurant and Saloon in Newark, Delaware. We're doing our show there live tomorrow from 10 to 2 in Newark on Main Street. Klondike Kate's Restaurant, klondikekates.com for details. $50 gift card today. All right, clue number one was I dressed up as a character from this TV show.
Yes.
What's clue number two?
And I found this surprising, and we talked about this a little bit. But I was Joe has seen every episode of this TV show.
I have. So this is now, I'll give people a little context. I didn't see them all live. I saw them all like kind of over the years in syndication. I wasn't watching them all live, but I've seen them all. At one point had the DVDs and watched all through. 215-592-9494. Let's go to Jameel in Frankfurt. Hey, Jameel.
Okay. Joe, how are you doing?
Good, Jameel. How are you?
I'm well. Hugh, how are you?
What's going on, my man? How you doing?
Listen, y'all know normally I get real hype. I'm not gonna get hype today.
Oh, you gonna be calm? Oh, let's see how long this works.
now you gonna put the music on?
I didn't do that. That was Kyle. Kyle did that.
Kyle, stop playing. Three games is not a long enough period to set a seed in an 82-game. Season. If he tweaked it during the Olympics, give him 3 games. We already know he's not going to play a full season anyway. I get the continuity factor, but let's talk continuity when he's missing games in March, in April. The season don't even really start until after Christmas anyway.
I've heard that before.
So but why not tell us then? And Jameel, we're assuming 3 games. They said they're going to reevaluate him this weekend. I mean, that doesn't mean he's playing next week. I hope he does, but I don't know.
But, Joe, why not tell us? You're on sports radio, right?
Yes.
So you tell the city, hey, Joel Embiid is injured. He won't be able to play. This is the reason why he's not playing, or we're trying to rest him and keep him healthy. Now the rest of the league knows that same information.
Jameel, can I ask a question, though?
Go ahead.
The coach don't even sound like he know what the hell is going on with Joel Embiid. You're okay with that?
And he may not. It's the same thing. Listen, it's the same thing last year when I'm going to another city. Please don't get upset with me.
Mm-hmm.
When Wiggins was out all that time in Golden State, but physically he was healthy. Mentally, he wasn't there because he had issues with his baby mama, his best friend.
With his baby, his best friend smashed his baby mama?
Oh, that story. You got to look up that story.
Oh, I'm about to look it up right now.
Jameel, I know about that story. That's wild.
Wait a minute. He was smashed the best friend?
I mean, alleged. I mean, it's just, you know, internet stuff.
Well, obviously, if he having issues, he was smashing his baby mama.
So you got issues that keep you off the floor that don't necessarily have to do with your physical. Here's where my solace is, though. Here's where my solace is.
It sounds like a coping mechanism a little bit, Joe. It sounds like you coping a little bit, Jameel. I'm gonna let Maxie, you cook, but you coping a little bit.
Maxie is my solace because he's my future. I get the opportunity right now to watch this young man cook and develop.
You know
and what? He's on his way out,
Jameel. You know
they
you
just
know
re-signed him though. Jameel, he's just getting you know, 3 years under
Jameel,
90.
See, they I get him, though, Joe. This is what happened.
Three more years. Hugh, just give me this 1 second. I'm gonna let you have it. They gave him an extension for 3 more years. One thing Hugh knows, and anybody who plays sports knows, you're not getting paid for what they expect you to do. They finally paying you for what you've already done.
Joe, but that's guaranteed money though. But Joe, let me get back to you, Jameel. You have conceded the fact that Joel Embiid is done. You're already looking past this. These next
exactly.
3 years to you mean nothing.
Exactly.
They mean nothing.
This is coping, Jameel.
You're coping. Dog, you're coping right now. You are coping. You're like, hey, you know what? I got 3 years. I'm going to go ahead and just ride this out.
Let it go. All right, Jameel, give us a guess here. Huge clues for a chance at the gift card. I dressed up as a character from the show. I've seen every episode of the show. What is it?
The Sopranos.
Jameel, it's a fun guess. It's not it, though. That show actually was a little bit after the time period we're talking about. But, yeah, I probably could pull off a character there better than I could in the Fresh Prince.
Which one do you think you'd pull off?
Well, I don't
know.
Do
you think you see yourself as a Tony Soprano?
No, I'm not big enough. It doesn't work. Well, I'm just saying, if you're saying, Joe, you're going to pull off a character from The Sopranos or Fresh Prince, who do you think you might have a better chance at? I mean, seems pretty obvious. You don't think so? Because sometimes you gotta look the part. You know what I mean? I don't know if I look the part one way.
No, but you don't act the part like the heavy Italian. No. You know, like you're Giglio, but.
Yeah, maybe Paulie. I mean, I could pull off a Paulie.
You think so?
I mean, I don't know. I never tried. I mean, when people find out the answer to this one, they might be surprised too. 215-592-9494. All right, let's get to this. I heard this yesterday on The Herd, Colin Cowherd Show. Mark Sanchez was on, and Sanchez, of course, did the game on Sunday. The Eagles-Giants game for Fox. Sanchez was the color analyst. And I thought it was interesting to hear what he said about Jalen Hurts. This was kind of a long segment. He broke down some plays. But just listen to what he said after he broke down what he saw in film of Jalen Hurts, because it does open up the can of worms here that we've opened up, which is, and Sirianni opened up, by the way, his press conference coming up at 12 on WIP. You know, is this running team now? Here's what Sanchez said about Jalen Hurts and how they should go about this offense moving forward.
There's physical traits there that are elite. The deep ball throw is elite. Him and to A.J. Brown on deep balls is just unreal.
Yeah.
But it covers up some of the issues with reading a defense, with getting through your progression, with nailing down that footwork. Because if he starts to do that, once he does that, this dude immediately will jump to the top 10 in the league in quarterbacks. But until you're there, like, there's other guys I want that can process better at this point in his career. Is it possible? Absolutely. Is there a guy there that can help him get there and kill him more? 100%. He helped Dak. He helped Justin Herbert. Like, this guy can get him there. But until I see those things, those easy reads start to happen, I'm going to run the ball 45 times.
Yeah.
And that's what they did. And that's going to be their formula to win until that takes the next step.
Hugh, that was interesting. Sanchez yesterday, and I'll add this to it. You know, those color analysts, outside of Tom Brady because he's not allowed to, they do those pre-production meetings with the head coach, right?
Yes,
so I always wonder what you hear during the game or after a game, how much it is all Sanchez's thought and how much is he kind of feeling out the coach he just talked to behind the scenes.
Reading between the lines a little
bit,
huh?
Yeah. I mean, Hugh, he said very similar things that Seth said to us about a half hour ago, which is until Jalen gets better at seeing the field, they got to run.
Yeah, and it's obvious that last week was the first week that it feels like they tried to let Jalen throw the ball, and he didn't accomplish that very well, taking a lot of sacks. So they abandoned that philosophy, and they started to run the ball a little bit more. I'm kind of in the same mindset of you, because even during that broadcast, there was a heavy emphasis from Mark Sanchez on the quarterback play, so much so that when Jalen did miss that wheel route or that out route that Saquon was running, he was yelling and screaming, oh, you know, he missed the play. Da, da, da. So I think there is something to that. Jalen has to play better. There's no question about that in order for this team to get to where we need to be. I think that's evident in the fact that they were under center. It was an all hands on deck, we need to salvage the season type situation. That's what it kind of felt like. And if that's what's going to help save the season and get him back on track, then so be it. We're going to have to put that passing game to the back burner just a little bit in order to get back on track and try to make it to Louisiana.
I do wonder with all this, because this is the sentiment. Sirianni is going to speak at 12. We'll carry it in entirety coming up at 12 o'clock here. I imagine he'll be asked. I mean, yesterday on WIP said that they're a running team. So, I mean, sure, he's going to be asked about that. But Hugh, two things I wonder. One, and Seth kind of alluded to it, how long until teams just stack the box and say, no. Saquon, we're done with this. We're going to put 8 in the box and make you throw the ball. That's the first thing I'm wondering, Hugh. And the second thing, you kind of alluded to this in a joking fashion Monday. Hugh, if they go to Cincinnati on Sunday and Devontae Smith has another one target game, how long do you think this is going to be cool with everyone over there?
I think Devontae is a good guy, and he's not going to make a big stink, especially if you're winning. You look kind of stupid making a big stink about not touching the rock if you're winning games.
But receivers always want the ball.
They always want the ball, Joe, but we're in a situation right now. We got to play chess instead of checkers. I think a lot of checker moves were made the last few weeks. We got to start making chess moves.
I agree. But so I think we all agree right now their best path to winning is to run it more than normal. I just wonder how long they could do it for and continue to work. Teams not stack the box, Kyle, and everyone to be on board with this, especially when you have money and ego at three positions, quarterback and two receivers.
Well, yeah. I mean, on Devontae at least, he's probably the last person that I'm worried about getting upset with something like that. The other guy, both wide receivers just got paid this offseason. So I don't think that's getting in the way.
Like, that does make it a little easier.
It's not going to be the reason that they're not getting a big payday
right at
the end of the year. And, like, I don't know. If there's one thing I can say about, like, the attitude and the vibe of this team, at least, like, on offense, it does feel like they're together. this year, like way more so than last year, where I think they're all picking each other up. Like, got Saquon hyping up AJ, AJ hyping up Saquon. Like, I think they are all in this together and are sort of at the, you know, whatever it takes for us to win football games. And plus, I'm sure they look at it as the more that defenses have to respect Saquon, the easier it becomes for them.
It's cyclical.
Yeah.
It comes back to the mean. And once they start putting eight in the box and trying to slow Saquon down, then it's going to come back to you have to throw the football. They still threw the football. It's just that it wasn't distributed as much as it once was, you know, a few weeks ago. But they're still going to throw the football.
Yeah, I mean, but Sunday was, what, 45 rushes, 14 throws? I mean, yeah. I felt like I was watching Army-Navy. I mean, like, that's not the NFL.
But it was an ass-kicking.
It was. And no, it worked. I just wonder how long they continue to do it for. I mean, they've done this before, but they always transition eventually back to the throwing the football.
So, but is because A.J. did get a long touchdown. Huh? I mean, Devontae's the one that didn't get anything. I feel like if you're AJ, you can't expect to get the ball thrown to you 10 times a game. But if you make the most of the touches that you get,
yeah,
I'm sure he was having fun out there.
You got to be efficient.
You do have to be efficient. No, listen, I think right now if we poll people and said run the ball, yes or no, you're going to get a lot of yeses.
Well, we did.
Well, at WIP Midday Show on Twitter, run the ball? I'm guessing
Run the ball, man.
It's going to be a 90 to 10 kind of ratio.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to get your jokesters here that vote no, but who really, you know. Who actually just says no to that question?
I mean, this is Philadelphia. Run the football. 215-592-9494. Mick is up on WIP. Hey, Mick.
Mick.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, Mick. What are you feeling?
You know, when I first called Kyle, I was really upset because it's the first time I heard that Joel wasn't playing. And I think that's a real kick to the nuts to the Philadelphia 76ers fans. I mean, waiting for the last minute to tell the fans that this guy is not going to play, I think, is just a sneaky way to try to get money. And, you know, I was thinking while I was waiting that, you know, the three major sports organizations that we have in Philly, two of them have a really good structure. I think the Phillies and I think the Eagles have a really good structure. The 76ers, it's always chaos.
Oh, chaos, I mean, is their normal, Mick. You're right about that, Mick. We appreciate your phone. Chaos is the normal.
Yes, it is.
For the Sixers. Unfortunately, that is where we're at, and it doesn't change. I mean, it hasn't changed for years, and here we go again entering a new season. 215-592-9494. Everyone that wants to weigh in on Embiid, we'll get to everyone. Hang on. We'll keep it going, as well as your clues and your guesses for Hughes Clues. We'll get another clue in the 12 o'clock hour. Plus, Nick Sirianni's press conference in its entirety next. I'm sure he'll be asked to run the football. That's next. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Whether you're tailgating at the stadium or hosting at the home with friends and family, nothing beats Hatfield pork on game days. From marinated pork tenderloins to bacon, which y'all know I love, ground pork and sausage, Hatfield has all your game day winners. Whip up cheesy chorizo dip or bacon-wrapped tater tots and bring the flavor to your party. This weekend, make sure pork is on your fork. Visit simplyhatfield.com for the best game day recipes and to find a store near you, find your flavor with Hatfield.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplained?
Travel? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.